Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the time and show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Another Monday, another new start to the week. Let me start out by welcoming all my listeners in Nigeria, India, Germany, Canada, United States, of course. Also want to welcome my listeners on the Activate Media platform, Activate Radio platform as well out of Boston, Mass, who gets this broadcast on Friday nights. If you are listening online and would like to be part of the conversation tonight, part of the discussion tonight, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that call-in number is 914-205-5538. And let's get off into this. For those of you who missed last week's show, good show. I want to thank my guest from last week once again, and I'm hoping that she will, both of my guests actually, will be able to join me from time to time. I enjoyed the camaraderie, and it just helps the flow of things, and then it just gives us also different perspectives. But I want to thank my guests from last week, Sister Queenie Solomon and my sister Tamika Siri. Had a pretty good show last week. Really no specific topic. We just really had an open discussion. And that's really what I like to do, because that can point us more in the direction of solution. And that's really what the talks and the communication should be about. The conversation should be about changing the condition. And like I say, I had a pretty productive conversation. Tonight, though, I'm going to take it a different route. I was doing some researching because there's been a few cases that, you know, we all know about that have come up in the news over the last few years. And, you know, we're enthralled in those cases when they first happen, you know, and once those cases are no longer media worthy, you know, a lot of times we forget about those cases. And there were just a few things that I was wanting to go over tonight concerning a couple of cases. One of them did make national news. Both cases happened county, which is the county I resided in. And just like any other county, any other, you know, place here in America, in this country, well, things are always lopsided as far as this justice system goes. Now, the cases that I'm going to talk about, the first case that I'm going to talk about is the case with a young man. And in this case, it happened about a week prior to, it was about a week. There was about a week in between the death of O'Shea Terry. And I just want to bring light to this young man's case because, like I say, this case, just another case of over-policing and senseless violence, you know, for no reason. Like I say, just because. And this young man, I'm going to go into the backstory because, like I say, a lot of people don't know about this one because this one really did not make national news like the second case that I'm going to talk about that happened also in Tarrant County, and that's in Texas. For those of you who do not know, that is Fort Worth, Texas, predominantly, and it also encases Arlington, Texas, and that's where the O'Shea Terry shooting happened by a Asian cop named Bo Tran, B-A-U-T-R-A-N. This shooting happened back in 2018. So this is like 3 years ago. And this is right around the corner from where I was living in Arlington. And when I say right around the corner, this happened not even a mile from my home, from where I stayed in Arlington. And just like I say, another case of senseless violence, policing, and that thirst for blood that these, you know, killer cops seem to have nowadays. And I say killer cops because, yes, that's the way they behave. And I call a spade a spade. Give me 1 second, people. Okay, I'm sorry about that brief glitch, but I had to get something straight real quick. Okay, but back to my story. O'Shea Terry, young man, 24 years old, and
they did produce the body cam. This Beltran, also, I'll get into his past because this is not his first incident. Oh, and by the way, there has not been a court date set for this trial yet, to my knowledge. And in doing my research, and I was looking for any recent article that may have come out, you know, specifying a court date, but that has not happened as of yet. But to give you the backdrop of the story, a young man, O'Shea Terry, rest his soul, he's going down Bowen Street in Arlington, and it intersects with the street that I lived on, which was which was Arkansas Lane. And it was, the initial stop was made by a female. And she stopped him. Mind you, let me give you a vision. Because she had her camera on. And I believe that she was parked on either California Street or she would have been parked on, but she was parked with her cruiser facing Bowen on one of the sides. And, she had her camera was on, and you can see, this is Terry, Mother Terry, and she be passed her crew. Like I say, she was parked just on the side a few minutes prior to him passing that side. And as soon as he passed the side street, she pulled out behind him. Okay, now, this is why I want you all to have the vision of it. And like I say, it's crazy what witnesses have been with. Only it has been one of those and he passed, he pulled out behind, pulled off the side, and mind you, Owen Street is a pretty busy street. It's one of the main, you know, traffic streets in Arlington. Quite a bit of traffic on Owen Road. Now, when she pulled out behind me, because I'm giving you this visual, because he stopped. And when she stopped and made contact with her, said it's because she noticed that he had expired diesel, which was the thing. He was dead with his tires. Then she had admitted to that she was there and mentioned that in the meeting. And as the video progressed, this is very detailed, and I just want to say this so that some people don't understand, will understand, because there is a difference in police in America. I'm jumping off the office. There's a difference. There is a difference. And you can notice that young man, O'Shea Terry, was 30. I'm 51 years old. And the last time that I was pulled over, about a year ago, I was on my way home in Arkansas. I just got in off the truck. And when I got in off the truck and swung my car, I noticed that I had a
As I said earlier, Mr. Terry told me a little nervous,
and understand there's like I say, how to think one and how to think for those I mean it's a bad old a little kid over here. I've learned prayer. Not really a really clear type of service, but service stuff a bit. That's just a reaction I think that holds black have don't know what top we're going to get. And regardless of what top we get, there's a certain way that we're treated as black and American by law. Okay, so as top president, running in information, both training and information, and for some reason, this is very body to bring the cost. And honestly, wrong thing to do, especially when you have renegade cops, bloodthirsty young cops out there who are inches and who sell weapons. So Frank is being in the back of the room and decided to try to move off. Now, on the same thing, a lot of people may not agree with what he's done. And like I just said, yeah, that was definitely the wrong thing to do, especially in today's police. And he didn't have to talk to his wife. Because just as easy as he pumped bullets into that young man's killing, instead of it, as the vehicle is pulling off, this asshole cop pops up on the running board now, grabs a hold of the window, pops up on the running board, and pulls his weapon inside the window and, like I say, pumps. I heard like 5 shots but when he could have, first off, let's just stop right there for 1 minute. Because first off, to never pop them on the side of the vehicle. Even though Mr. Terry should not have taken off, still it's not that pop them on the side. He endangered his own life. But if you're a bloodthirsty cop, you'll do anything in order to fire your weapon. And that is why most cops, some cops, and nowadays have a whole other element of cops, KKK cops. So that's another one. Trans, make me a member. So it's just but that's definitely earned a fight for me. So fight for me. Now, after he fired, and jumped off of the vehicle, and from the other officer, and you can see the whole incident unfold. And you see them fire the shot in the vehicle, jumped off the boat, picked up the time, gets up out of the street. But like I say, boy, in a very busy street, Bowen Road, So firing shots is just driver of vegan in itself on a highly traveled residential street is endangering anybody, but it can by the streets or sometimes nobody was coming down that other way. Because after he shot Mr. Terry, well, the vehicle didn't go forward until it ran up on a curb and took a push from pushing. And when the vehicle stopped, the officer, and by that, got up out of the street and, like I'm saying, but the Bowen Road is a very busy street in Arlington. And luckily, he didn't hit me. But, nonetheless, Mr. Terry, young man, 24 years old, at the hands of the renegade cop, was crazy. And he was fighting, about 6 months, well, about 8 months later. This has happened by the film since the first game. And they didn't fire him in May, right? To be in charge of him, there's a criminal that has been homicide. Okay. That is a very, very light charge. Like I said, considering that his actions with that officer, well, no security is, like I say, I wouldn't advise anybody to do and especially anybody that looks like people think. Because, like I say, you can have a generation of cops, but 30 trigger happy, ready to kill. And if you just so happen to be the right color and do the wrong thing, and it may not be the wrong thing, but what they consider the wrong thing, well, you will then suffer their wrath because
I'm sorry, I hope y'all can hear me. You'll then suffer their wrath because then you're at their will. You're at their mercy, and that's the way they police, and especially when it comes to us. So I am thinking that. And I want to get off into that as well. But I want to run Officer Beautran's history, his past, because, like I say, you know, if you work at a warehouse, or, hey, just take my job, for instance. I'm a truck driver, and the federal government cracks down harder on truck drivers than they do these renegade killer cops. And if I get out here and mess up, it'll cost me my job immediately. But with this qualified immunity, and like I say, I will get into that as well, because that's something that I think should be erased. And like I say, this federal government has the power to regulate that, but we see that they're not in a hurry to do that. But this particular Officer Tran let's see, let's go back to May the 2nd in 2012. He had a confrontation with another man, and while Tran was off duty, the man alleged that Tran challenged him and pulled a knife on him while identifying himself as a police officer. Okay, for that, he was suspended for one day. He was suspended for one day without pay. He also received written reprimand. Wow, written reprimand. For backing his patrol car into a gate while talking on his cell phone, November 11, 2012, and an oral reprimand for failure to take appropriate action and being untruthful to police sergeant regarding an intoxicated suspect on November the 4th of 2012. On April of the 12th of 2012, he received an oral reprimand for violating city policy requiring careful and prudent operation of any vehicle on city business, which means he probably was out clowning in a police car, in a city vehicle, and, probably messed something up. Careful and prudent operation. So, yeah, he was out clowning in a city vehicle or doing something unnecessary. And on January 21st, 2015, he received counseling after he failed to handcuff a suspect, make her aware that she was under arrest for a felony, and have her searched. Also, he was the subject of an April 27th, 2015 citizen complaint that he had called a man a bad parent and threatened to take him to jail. So the last one that I see here is on May 21st of 2017, while he was off duty, he donned his police uniform shirt before stepping from his personal car and confronting a person after a road rage incident. So, see, this is one of those officers that he's the epitome of what an officer shouldn't do. You know, he is exactly what we consider a bad cop. He is exactly the kind of person that nobody really, that he doesn't like, wants to run into. Now, his last offense was on May 2017. You fast forward a year and a few months ahead to September 1st, 2018, and he hops up on the side of a moving SUV. And I was going to make another point. Instead of hopping up on an SUV so eager to fire his weapon and kill a man, why not just shoot out the tires? Or why not just holster your weapon? But, you know, all that is has no bearing now because what's done has been done. Now, I'm eager to see. Like I say, I did not find any type of court date as of yet. And I know that with the COVID and everything that's been going on, trials and courts are backlogged. But mind you, this case happened way back in 2018. And really, COVID didn't really hit us until 2020. But that's a whole nother story. But just something to think about. You know, why does it take them so long to give these officers the same treatment and the same opportunity to go to the penitentiary that they give anybody else for the same offense, you know, but they know how to prolong it for their own. And they always manage to do that. And see, these situations, and like I say, his first situation that two entries entered on May 2nd back in 2012. Okay, and like I say, you fast forward 6 years ahead to 2018, he kills a man. And then you see his consequences were nothing. You know, suspended for one day without pay. I mean, written reprimand, verbal reprimands. And that's why these cops consistently do what they do, because they know that they really, 9 times out of 10, are not going to suffer any harsh consequences for their problem within policing exists. Because the police don't follow the law. Just like another set of people I know don't follow the same book they try to pump down our throat. But I digress. That's another whole subject, too. But, yeah, this O'Shea Terry case, like I say, just another one of the many hashtags that we have, unfortunately, become so familiar with. You know, and that's not normal, but that's our reality. And this officer should have been gone off of the force long before the O'Shea Terry incident. I mean, these types of things are red flags, and it's evident that he had in his mind that he's a cop on and off duty. You know, with his last incident that happened prior to him killing a man, you know, donning his police shirt before he stepped out of his personal vehicle to confront a man during a road rage incident. And I'm pretty sure that Beltran was the instigator of that particular road rage incident, because he has that arrogant mentality that I'm a cop, do what I say. Even when I'm not in my cop car, do what I say. Oh, let me show you my police shirt. I'm a cop. You better do what I say. And that's what's wrong with the police and the mentality of police. See, they want to take it back to a day when they could just do people how they wanted to do them. And it just is not happening that way now, like it used to. So I'm going to take a quick, and then I'm going to touch on this next case that it did get national attention. It was another case that came out of Tarrant County, Texas, right next door to the city of Arlington, which would be the city of Fort Worth, Texas. And this was the case with involving a Tatiana Jefferson and the killer cop, Aaron Dean. So that is the next little topic, just some quick updates. And like I say, I know with that O'Shea Terry case, a lot of people didn't know about it, because it really it hit. I saw it on NBC Nightly News like the day after it happened, and then I really didn't hear anything else about it nationally. And being that I lived in Arlington when it happened, I really didn't hear much concerning that case, and I lived in Arlington, you know, and it's just amazing how when they do wrong, they will sweep it under the rug or try to, just like in the case with George Floyd and just like in the case with Ahmaud Arbery, and come to find out the DA is trying her damnedest to get these two murderers free. See, let me go on and say my catchphrase right now. That's why we need each other out here. That's why I keep telling y'all we need each other, period. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And then, like I say, when you have the people who are supposed to serve and protect, who are complicit and just as criminal as the worst criminal, and then the thing about it is they have a right to be legal criminals if they choose to be. And just let that sink in. And a lot of them choose to be legal criminals just because they have the power to be that. You see more policemen out here involved in a lot of corruption. And that is what is wrong with our justice or injustice system. But, yeah, let me take a quick break and gather myself. I will come back and give a quick update on what I found with what's going on with the Tatiana Jefferson in that case, because that was another Botham John Breonna Taylor type situation where you're not even safe in your own damn house. You are listening to The Big Picture, and this is Melvin Seary Jr. If you're listening online and would like to call in, comment, whatever, you know, on tonight's topic, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. I'm going to take me a quick break, and we'll be right back. I say this is The Big Picture on the Panther Party Radio Network.
On April 12, 1967, at Tougaloo College on the outskirts of Jackson, Mississippi, Stokely Carmichael, who popularized the term black power, lashed out against the war in Vietnam. This speech followed just days after an appearance at Nashville, which prompted riots by students at Fisk and Tennessee A&I universities. 3 days after Tougaloo, Carmichael participated in mass rallies of anti-war supporters in New York and San Francisco. Born in Trinidad on July 29, 1941, Carmichael became an American citizen when his parents came to the U.S. and were naturalized. He was still in college in 1960 when the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, was formed. It was SNCC which organized the sit-ins in the South. In 1966, as its leader, Carmichael spent the year transforming the organization toward the concerns of black college students. This speech, given to about 700 students, illustrates the clear division between traditional nonviolent civil rights leaders like Martin Luther King and the more militant leaders coming on the scene. Here the viewer can see Carmichael define America's racial problems. Note particularly his concern with semantics and his use of antithesis to contrast the black and white perspective. Also noteworthy, of course, is his ability to excite and motivate his audience. At one point, he leads the audience in a chant, which, though abbreviated on this tape, lasted 10 minutes. In all, the viewer can witness an example of confrontational rhetoric from the 60s, illustrated by the fiery Stokely Carmichael.
Thank I'm trying to figure out which one belongs to the CIA. Nick, it was once one of the only places we could run to for safety when we started to work in Mississippi in 1961 and 62. So that it's sort of like coming home when we come back to Tubular. Now I want you to, before I begin, to take a look at all of the pressmen before you. You will notice that not one of them are black. And they are going to have the nerve tomorrow to call me a racist. Are you ready? Understand how the honkies are, they don't recognize their own racism. I understand that I'm following the great white father, Bobby Kennedy. I understand last night he told you a couple of things, and I want to put some of them in perspective for you. When he said the world belongs to you, that comes from a great black man by the name of Frederick Douglass. He said the world belongs to you. To stand up and speak out against injustice. Well, we could tell him that we don't need anybody to tell us to stand up anymore. Not only are we going to stand up, we're going to right the wrongs of our people in this generation. Our generation has the memories of the unpunished murders of Swerney, Goodney, and of Medgar Evers. There are going to be no more unpunished murders. They've been telling you that the kids in Nashville started a riot. Number one, you ought to recognize it is not a riot, it is a rebellion. A rebellion. And number two, you ought to be proud of your black brothers and sisters at Fifth, because a honky cop touched one of them and they told him you got to touch all of us.
All right. Welcome back to the Big Picture. This is Melvin Seary Jr. And let me get off into this next story. And the next story that came out of the big city of Fort Worth, Texas, involving Officer Aaron Dean. You know, this case was another, like I say, Botham John type situation that should have never happened. I was reading another article that was in the Dallas Morning News, and they had interviewed the gentleman that called the police that night. And a lot of people, are divided. A lot of people feel one way, a lot of people feel another way, as far as, you know, the neighbor calling the police. And, I mean, you really can't blame him. He was an older man as well. And had there been a burglar or an intruder in there, it wouldn't have been much he could have done, at least from what I saw of him physically, not, you know, to be derogatory in any way, but just because he was an older man, and if he had encountered, you know, which we know now there was no intruder in there, but you know, had there been, you know, it would have been nothing much that he would have been able to do except become a victim himself. So I fault him to a fault. only because, I really can't fault him because I think he did the right thing, or, you know, he feels like he did. I mean, it cost a life unnecessarily, and that's because of the unprofessionalism of Officer Aaron Dean. There was really nothing that neighbor done physically, you know, to cause what happened to happen. What happened was one of those rogue ended up on the call. And, you know, unfortunately, Tatiana had to lose her life behind that. And the man actually said he had contemplated moving from his home because he had been getting harassed and even threats. It's just really a no-win situation with that, because people are going to feel a certain way. And we all know, you know, when the police come out, we hope that we get an understanding cop. We hope that we get a professional cop. We hope that we don't get one of those cops that are trying to get stripes within the Klan or within the movement. But, you know, in this particular case, unfortunately, Officer Aaron Dean was looking for stripes. And, you know, we all, like I say, have saw this particular video. Oh, and for those of you who have not saw the O'Shea Terry video, you can go to YouTube and plug in O'Shea Terry, O-S-H-A-E, Terry, and you can see the actual body cam footage from start to finish. And like I was about to say with Tatiana Jefferson, we have all saw the footage and the last image of her that we all, that just really, I can see it right now, was her peeking through the blind to see who it was out there shining the light through the window. And I'm in this mindset. Had he said he was the police, Fort Worth police, is anybody back here? Or while shining that light into that window, even when he saw her face, raised that blind up, and we all saw that so vividly, we all saw that. Why not at that moment say, Fort Worth police, is everybody okay in there? Just that damn simple. But no, what does he do immediately as he sees the blind raised? It wasn't even a nanosecond. He fired. When he was approaching, when he was rounding the corner going into the backyard, he never said, Fort Worth Police Department. It's just that simple. When they approached the front door and it was wide open, why not just yell inside? PD, is everybody okay? Is anybody in here? Is anybody hurt? But no. These police are trained to kill. They're trained to shoot first, ask questions later. I was reading also when I was doing my little research to find out what, you know, progress is being made as far as justice in these cases, and at least in this case, Because, you know, this shooting also, it happened back in October of 2019, and I remember this one because it was just a few days before my birthday. And that's why it really popped back up on my mind, just like the O'Shea Terry shooting just really popped back into my head because I remember it happening a week before the Botham Jean murder. It was October the 12th, like I say, of 2019 when this happened. And because the courts were so backed up in Tarrant County, you know, I understand the COVID and all that is going to slow things down, but when it comes to cases like that, there should be expedience in those particular cases. There shouldn't be any prolonging or waiting or any of that. Those cases should be on the forefront. They are when it comes to us. When it comes to us, they're on the front burner, back burner, middle burner, any burner that's lit. Yeah, they can make room. They can find room for us, definitely. I was looking to see if there were, I could find, and apparently this Officer Dean, I didn't find any thing like I found on Officer Beltran. You know, he really didn't have a jaded past or a past of, you know, overstepping his boundaries with people. But yet and still, that is neither here nor there because a life was lost, you know. Even though it may have been a clear-cut mistake, there were, like I gave the several examples, so many things he could have done besides pulling that trigger. And then another thing that I didn't really, he had no business in the backyard. I mean, the neighbor called for a courtesy check, true enough. But like I said, the front door was open. All you have to do is stand at that front door and yell Fort Worth PD, and somebody's going to come to that door, and nobody dies. Or like I said, when you make that choice, because the gate, you can see it on his body cam, he clearly opened the gate and went into that backyard and was shining lights through windows. And anybody, if I'm in my home, first of all, if I see a light shining in through my window, I'm not going to peek out the blind. That's something I wouldn't do. I may go around the long side of the house and try to sneak up on whoever it is out there with the light, but I don't think that I would have opened the blind. That's just something I wouldn't do, and I'll tell you why. Not because I don't think, because when a light is on in your house and it's dark outside, the person can see you, but you really cannot see out. It's more like a mirror for you. And I know that's just really common sense, but a lot of people still will look out a window at night with a light on. If you're going to look out the window, turn the light off, you know, so you can see outside and you won't be so easily visible inside. FYI. But yeah, I just don't think I would have peeked out the blind because I would have went right into defensive mode. And like I say, I'd have Garnet, I would have had my weapon, just like she had her weapon, you know. Yeah, I would have, like I say, went out probably the front door at that point. And then if she had went out the front door, would I'm just wondering what would have happened had she grabbed her weapon and decided to go out a front door, out a side door to try to see, you know, who is that? Because honestly, that's the move I would have made. Like I say, I would have went into more of a defensive mode and trying to eliminate whatever it was outside my house, especially unannounced like that. So, you know, that case, like I say, a lot of flaws by the officer because I really, like I say, really, why go in through the fence? The front door is wide open, you know. And I don't blame her for grabbing her weapon. And honestly, if you look at that video, you don't know if she has a weapon or not. Because in the split second that she peeks out that blind, he starts shooting. So, I mean, you can't see in that video through those blinds that she had a weapon in her hand. They didn't know that until they went in after murdering her. You know, that's when they knew that she had a weapon, not beforehand. And I know, like I say, we've all saw that video, and like I say, it's haunting in a way because I can see right now through that blind for that split second before that police opens fire and murders her. And not only that, you know, you have to take into consideration, too, that her nephew was right there with her when this happened. So he was 8 years old at the time, I believe. So that was in 2019 when that happened. So, you know, he's 10 now. Imagine his mental state after seeing that. And he has to live with that now. That's something that he will have to live with for the rest of his life, you know, seeing his aunt shot dead in front of him by an overzealous, trigger-happy, bloodthirsty cop. You know, and I have a serious problem with that because that's why I feel like qualified immunity needs to be done away with. And like I say, the federal government has the power to eliminate it. They just haven't and they won't because these police, believe it or not, work in unison with the government. And the people that they are harming don't matter to this government. I hope y'all understand that, and not just necessarily black people, poor people, people that the government don't see fit, and all of them are not black. You know, that's the misconception that we all have. This government don't love nobody except people like them, corrupt, evil, rich people. And if you're not that, you're not really in their system, and you will never be in their system until you are those things. You know, sad to say, but the price of fame is not always worth the price you pay. So that's just something, you know, to think about, you know. But like I say, the qualified immunity, the federal government could definitely eliminate it, regulate it, do away with it. I do also support the defunding of police, because if they can't do the right thing, they should be penalized like anybody else. And that's the way I look at that. I look at that as, you know, any other person that has a job to do and they're not performing their job correctly. Just like I used the example earlier. You know, if I'm out here on the road and my license is not, let's just say I'm speeding all the time. I'm doing something that I know as a truck driver I'm not supposed to do, and I get to get away with it. And if that was the case with truck drivers, it'd be a lot more wrecks than it'd be a lot of late freight. And see, that's what's happening to us in real life. You know, because they don't have any consequences, it's costing us lives in real time. So, yeah, I'm with anything that has to do with lessening the power of these police until they can get it right. And if they can't get it right, well, they don't deserve to be police officers. And it doesn't take, I don't know, you know, we live in a society that was built on violence. I mean, straight up. We just live in a violent society. And a society that was built on the principles that this country was built on will always crumble. Look, do your research. That's all you have to do is do your research and study just a little bit of history. Study some of these powerful nations prior to now and see how they were, see how they started, which they all start the same dream with some hope, with some sweat and some tears and some sacrifice and all that, you know. And then, you know, see, just like I say, I don't know. Like I say, we have gotta get ready for some sort of control. We have, like I say, gotta prepare ourselves for what's coming, and not only what's coming, but what's already here. We've gotta really start to deal with that as well. Policing, like I say, yeah, needs to be regulated. Like I say, like any other job that any, you know, that we do, you know. And then the thing about it is, it's our money. It's our own tax dollars that pay for our executions. And that's why, too, taxation without representation, I'm 100% for that. And if we would all 100% get behind that, we could make some things happen. But we got to 100% get behind something, because it's definitely time to make some things happen. I also wanted to Texas, and been talking Texas, really Tarrant County, on this particular show. I was doing some reading, I think it was last Friday or Thursday. Yeah, last Friday or last Thursday. But anyways, Texas, Greg Abbott, if we don't vote Greg Abbott out of office this go around. And like I said, and I've said numerous times, I really don't, I vote in local elections, but as far as voting in the larger election, the presidential, those are really, to me, selection elections, because they already have those seats filled. And if you don't believe me, just do your research. But Greg Abbott, the other day, signed a bill that will now give murderers the opportunity for a cash bail. What do you know, Texas? Greg Abbott is doing the most down here. And you also know that on September 1st, as well, you know, he had signed that constitutional carry law, and it took effect on the 1st, September the 1st. So this is my thinking. And I was really sitting the other day at the, we were at the barbershop conversing, and we got to talking about that. And I said, y'all know what that is. And I've talked about this before as well, the Casual Killing Act of Virginia in 1664, I think it was, when white women were killing slave women and slave babies at such a high rate, create a law so that they wouldn't be criminalized for doing it. Kind of like these Karens Act around here nowadays. But, I see that as the new revised version of the Casual Killing Act 2021 in Texas. And I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that. Because when I saw that was about to pass a constitutional carry law, I'm not even going to lie, I almost shit it in my pants. Because that's not good for us. And I was telling the brothers this the other day. That's not good for us, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you got this syndrome going on right now. And it's like everybody's looking for an enemy. And regardless of if they have an enemy or not, black people are always everybody and anybody's enemy. And not only that, you have what you call the good old boy networks down in these here southern parts of the country. And that's why I say that cash bail for murder law is the new version of the Casual Killing Act, because a racist, only brave, and I've said this enough for y'all to complete the sentence, but a racist is only brave when they're in groups or when they're online or on a phone where you can't touch them, or if they have a weapon. And I told them brothers the other day, I said, if y'all encounter a racist now and he's bold enough to say something and try to provoke you, just walk away. Just walk away. Because if he's by himself, he's got a weapon. 9 times out of 10. And that's why I say this is a new version of the Casual Killing Act, because I can see it coming down the pike where, oh, and mind you, Texas is Trump country. That's why that jackass governor we got is doing all this dumb stuff that he's doing, trying to impress an orange monkey, Donald Trump. But, yeah, I don't see, like I told them brothers, and I said this months ago, I just don't see that being a good outcome for us, because you already have regular old Joe Smoes and Karens and trying to regulate how we move. And we've all saw the videos where it may be a black man or a black woman or whatever the case may be at a store just minding their business or at a park watching birds or something. And then you have this Becky Boohoo come out of nowhere, and she feel like she's unsafe because you there, and if she tells you that you should leave, you better leave. See, that's the syndrome that they have. And it's not going to stop, but it's going to get worse. And if they have weapon available, their lust for blood, their blood lust, and their willingness to kill is not going to be a good thing for us. And then this governor backdoors constitutional carry with the ability to bail out on a cash bail for murder. And that's also, mind you, at the judge's discretion. But this is Texas. And like I say, this is good old boy country where they scratch each other back, butt, bottom of their foot. Anything need to be scratched, they'll scratch it. They'll rub elbows to rub you out and not even really care for each other in this part of the country. But as long as you have that common enemy, which would be us and anybody that doesn't look like them, well, you can become victim. And it's sad that we live in a society like that. And it's sad that that thought even crossed my mind. But I just really look at things deeper than just what we see. And like I say, you got to look and think, because everything that is done under the sun is done for a reason. And he's not passing that cash bail for murder law just to be doing it. He's doing that for a reason. He's doing that to give a certain group of people the ability to kill and get free and get off. So that's just something to think about here in Texas. Well, I don't know of anybody, I guess that's something I'm going to have to research too. Are there any other states that allow a cash bail for murderers? Yeah, I'm going to have to research that one as well and see what other state we need to tiptoe lightly in, and especially if they're constitutional carry states. Like I say, just things to think about, you know, in this world that we live in. Like I say, I just wanted to jump on here tonight and bring y'all some updates, honestly, because I know, like I say, a lot of people didn't know about the O'Shea Terry case in particular. And like I say, it's over 3 years old now. And like I say, I was looking, and I'll have to do a little more digging. Thing that's saying that he has a court date, that there's a court date yet. So, like I say, as far as I know and to my knowledge, there is not one, but I I'll have to do a little more digging because I like to be sure of things. So I will definitely be keeping you updated on these particular cases and what's going on with them and outcomes and all that, because I just feel like, you know, those are things that we need to know, because we need to know how this system is working, and we all know how it's working and how it's not working. You know, that's just something that we really have to set our minds to change. And then not only that, once we set our minds to change, we have to really stay committed to it. You know, and that's sometimes, I don't know, I think that may be our biggest downfall. We don't commit ourselves to the right things. We don't commit ourselves to what will allow us to prosper and what will allow us to stop these cop killings. You know, we don't commit ourselves to things that are beneficial to us. We too busy. I'm not going there, but too easily distracted. And we need to be committed to ourselves. And if you can't be committed to nothing else, at least be committed to yourself. And by being committed to yourself, it will allow you to be committed to your brother, to your sister. Because like I say, it's time for us to get back to being in love with one another again. Just straight up. You know, we need that. We need that healing right now. You know, it's a lot of pain going on out here right now. It's a lot of death creeping across the land. People are leaving here. And then we're dealing with this injustice system on top of all the other madness. So see, we got to get rid of one of these, and we can't get rid of the virus, but we can get rid of that virus that's been plaguing us for so many years. And it ain't COVID, it's racism. That's been the most transformative virus on the face of this earth, and it ain't no vaccine for it, and they not trying to make no vaccine for it. So you know where the vaccine gonna have to come from. The vaccine gonna have to is us. We are the vaccine for racism. We are the vaccine for their arrogance and they violence and they evilness. See, you got to understand that. See, because that's the true virus. That's the virus that's been killing us since we've been here, you know. And now, on top of that, we got to worry about this COVID. And then, not only that, I'm not going to go there neither. But we got enough to worry about. And we need to stop worrying about the petty stuff. Start worrying about the real stuff, the things that are really going to make a difference in life. And if you have to change a few things just to make that happen, change what you need to change so that this can start happening. Because it needs to be happening yesterday, last month, last year, 10 years ago. And until we get on that level of thinking, see, we do it, like I say, we worry about the wrong. We worry about shit that gets attention. Attention don't pay no bills. And attention, look, they love that we love attention, because they love for us to entertain them. They love for all the dumb shit we do on Facebook and Instagram. They love that. And they get in your face. I'm going to tell you something else. All y'all who love these selfies, ain't nothing wrong with it. I ain't knocking you. It is what it is. Stop being so hungry for attention, because they using these. Don't forget, Facebook is linked up with the government. Regardless of what you think, y'all know Mark Zuckerberg, the grandson of one of them old rich elite. So they using Facebook. I was reading the government is using their database for facial recognition. Now, I talk enough for them to be after me. I ain't worried about it. They know what I look like. I'm going to do what I do. But I'm just letting you know. You know, we have to stop doing what the world doing and start doing what we need to do. We need each other. We ain't never needed nobody else, but we need each other. See, and we got to grasp a hold of that, because we ain't never really went to nobody for nothing. We struggled through that. Always have. Always will. We know how to struggle. We were built for struggle. And I was telling them brothers at the barbershop today, I said, see, in this room right now, we come from strong bloodlines. Because in order for us to be here right now, as black men and black women, do you know what our ancestors had to go through in order for us to be here now, and how we disrespected? And see, I'm going to honor my ancestors. I'm not going to disrespect they suffering by getting on Facebook cooning and clowning. It's enough of that. Got enough coons and clowns on Facebook, TikToking and all that other senseless shit, excuse my French, that we do. Milk crate challenges and all that. And we got people dying out here. We losing young men and young women every day. And we doing dumbass milk crate challenges. Make it make sense to me. Please make it make sense to me, because it don't. Because it really don't. And I really don't think it ever will. Because it's so much more constructive that we could be doing that could be taking us up and not up no damn milk crates. So, yeah, I sometimes get aggravated with how we move, because we move like we don't want nothing. We move like we want to keep dying. That's how we move out here sometimes. It's frustrating when you really love your people. When you love your people unconditionally with all of your heart and soul, you love your people and you doing everything in your power, you know, that you can do to change what you see. And then you see some of us out here that don't even seem like you don't mind being in this condition. And there's something wrong with that. If you don't mind watching your own people dying and suffering, it is something tremendously wrong with that. And like I always say, and I'm going to just keep saying it, I've said it so many times in the last 5 minutes, we need each other, y'all. We got to understand that. And like I've been saying, there's more power in the people than there is people in power. Hear that. Keep saying that real slow until you understand that and you feel that. Because that's what it is. It's a feeling in knowing and being confident, not arrogant, but confident in what you can do. And that's what we're lacking, that confidence in what we can do. And we can do whatever it is we want to do. Just got to start doing it. We just got to start doing it, plain and simple. We can't continue to pray for it and not move for it. You know, you got to move for what you want. You can't sit still and get nothing. Ain't nothing coming to you sitting still but probably some sleep So we got to start using our minds, so and for our profit, using our intellect for our profit, for our change, for our betterment. And I was talking to some young brothers on yesterday, and I'm going to start working with these young brothers. I want to give them something I didn't have, and I want to be able to show them how to help somebody, because that's really what it's about, helping others. And then by you helping others and being genuine with who you are, people see that. And you ain't got to be all flamboyant with it. You ain't got to be nothing with it but who you are. And when you can be who you are and people still resonate to you, it's something in you. And you have a quality. You have a calling. So don't take advantage of that for personal selfish gain. Remain humble and remain a person of integrity most of all. And always remain moral. Don't do anything that will shame your character. And that's what I live by, because despite what people say about me, I'm in the last few weeks, I'm still prospering. And I'm just to a point where unless I stop me, ain't nothing gonna stop me. And that's the way we have to start thinking. Because a lot of times before we even get started, we have so much doubt in our own minds that we don't even give it a second thought. And we just leave well enough alone. And we don't know if it'll work or not. But I know what will work, our unity, our working together, it'll work if we let it. It'll work. It can be done if we let it. And that's the thing about it. Like I say, sometimes we get in our own damn way. You know, everybody has to play their position and play it well. Everybody on the team can't be the quarterback, the pitcher, the superstar, all that, you know. But everybody on the team is a vital part of the machine. It's just that simple. Everybody has a part to play. Like I say, it's no big I's and little U's. It ain't no I'm this, you that. No, because we all the same. We all trying to get to a point. And don't be prideful and over and arrogant to a point where you can't accept criticism, nor will you accept advice. Can't accept criticism or advice, you are really, you one of them selfish people that need to just go on and do your thing. Yeah, that's what that is. And so many times it's people that act as if they want to get involved, but then in 3 or 4 months down the road, the fire is out. Ain't nothing. It's just a phase, you know. And when you dealing with life and death, can't be no phase. You either in it or you not. You can't have, like my granddaddy said to me, you can't half-ass do nothing, expect to get a whole nothing. I mean, half-ass do something and expect to get a whole nothing. Because you ain't getting a whole nothing if you just half-ass doing something. And a lot of us, I think, are intrigued. Kind of, I don't know what it is, because the reason I do what I do is because I truly have a passion for my people. I want change. I'm not fake about this, and that's who I am with this. this is life and death for me. This is life and death for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. This ain't for play. I see out here over the road rolling through these little different southern states especially. No, ain't nothing out here for play. And these people are for real out here. And I keep saying this to us. We're about to see in the next few months how much we need each other. Now, what we do when that time comes is really going to determine our outcome. So keep that in your mind. Because a lot of y'all out here playing ain't about nothing but attention and wanting to say you're in some shit. And that's my rant on that, because it ain't no time for all this fakeness. And it's too much, it's too many fake people out here right now with ulterior motives and different agendas. Just want to be involved to say they're involved with something. They're a part of this, they're a part of that. That old latch on, let go shit. And ain't nobody got time for that. You keep that over in left field and right field. And we'll handle the infield, because ain't no time for no half-assing. So I'm going to take another quick break. I got about 22 minutes, and I'm holding it down tonight. And I appreciate y'all listening. If you are listening online and would like to jump in and just join me on my little rant, like I say, I've really covered my subject matter, but just so many other things that as you are talking come into your mind and come into your thought pattern, and you kind of chunk that in there and you chunk something else in there. But like I say, I just like to try to say something that's going to make you think and that's going to inspire you to want to change something. All need to change. There's at least one thing that we all need to change about ourselves. No matter how perfect you think you are, all that, it's one thing that we all can change. Some of us have two or three, but we all have at least one. And why not change it for the better? That's all I'm saying. But this is the big picture. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I want you to know that I want you to think. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't going to do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not going to work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this, because for the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer. What you did, you did already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even in people living in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture, Melvin Seary Jr. I don't know, every time I hear that young brother, and he's always going to be a young brother, unfortunately, because he's frozen in time at that age of 21. And that speaks volumes. Like I say, every time I hear that young brother, I just think about, wow, you know, this young brother was only 21 years old and was a great organizer, great speaker, full of all ethnicities together. He had a true rainbow coalition and even pulled the gangs together. And that you know, that says enough. That says it all, because that was the most necessary move, and not only that, the most productive one. Because, yeah, why not get all the soldiers on the same team? See, we don't think like that. And keep the real enemy out. Keep the soldiers patrolling the perimeter. Thing within the perimeter can operate the way it's supposed to operate. Because we got everything we need to build a nation. Soldiers, doctors, lawyers, teachers, everything that we need. We got people that can do everything in any area, in anything. Architects, all of that. We got that. We just ain't got our own. That's all we missing. That's the missing piece of the puzzle right there. That's all we don't have. We have the intellect, the creativity. Hell, we built this. Think we can do it again? See, that's the mentality of Fred Hampton. That what we can do, not what we can't or didn't, but what we about to do. And that's what we got to catch fire with. What we about to do? What can we do? That's what the mentality. Because I don't think about what I can't do. And if I do fall short or lose, hey, ain't nothing. Many times as I done fell and got up and dusted my kneecaps off, a little bruised and battered and don't do like they used to, but they still work. They still work. That's what it's about, inspiring people, inspiring yourself, you're keeping, you know, and then, like I say, when the family units are all in that mode, the community is thriving. The children are thriving. You know, we're giving them foundation. And not only that, we're giving them future opportunity. And that's what I was talking to them young brothers about yesterday, future opportunity. Don't worry about you. Worry about the kids that he going to have. That's what you worry about when you get to a certain age. You start trying to set up that that oven so you can start baking that cake and that pie. You know, it's about having it not just while you here. Leave some there. Leave some for the other ones. That generational stuff. That stuff that was taken from us. But we can do it again. Just like we've done it before. See, and that's my thing, because is I've been knocked down so many times, like I say, and got back up. And every time I've gotten back up better than I was when I fell. Drive. Hope. Got to have that persistence. Got to have that. That's part of life. That's part of living. Those are part of some key characteristics to success, failure, and all that you will become and all that you will be. And that's why I say stay humble, because people, a compliment to me, really, I appreciate it, and it's humbling. But I don't do the things I do for likes, and I do what I do because I'm truly passionate about it. Straight up, straight down. If you see me doing it, it's not for play. I don't do nothing for play. Like I said earlier, this here is real to me. I'm tired of watching hashtags like O'Shea Terry, only 24, or Tatiana Jefferson, only 28. I'm not content with that. My spirit is restless on that. And see, that's why I wonder, where are some of y'all, where are y'all connected to? Because if what's happening is not bothering you deep down inside of you somewhere, I can't really keep dedicating. I got to stay away from people like that because I'm really on a mission to do something different. I'm really on a mission to try to change things. One mind at a time, if need be. But it's about, you know, getting out there and mingling with the people and talking to the people and getting to know the grievances of the community. And like with me, I like to try to connect with these younger brothers because I want them to know that, yeah, it's brothers out here my age that's concerned about y'all, truly concerned about y'all. They need to know that we're concerned about them. I said this time again, we worried about all the possessions and the shit we can buy. And I'm gonna put this out here. This is going. I'm about to close out. Cause me and my cousin and I were having a conversation one day, and we were talking about how these churches always talking about money, 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 and financial gain, and sowing seeds. And I threw this example out there for him. I said, you know, honestly, what I think the sowing of seeds is, and this is just my opinion, my analogy of how we should sow seeds and what I think the true meaning of sowing the seed is, because the man carries the seed and the woman has the vagina, which would be the garden, change the egg, which we fertilize the seed, which is the semen, the sperm, fertilizes the egg, and we have the nine-month incubation period, the growth period, if you will, of the seed. And then after that nine-month and sometime before period, you are able to then uproot what you planted. And in that nine-month period, you give birth. The woman uproots what was planted. The seed is now in your hands. And those are the seeds that we need to be sowing. The true seeds that we plant. And I mean, even if you go into a situation of marriage where your wife or your husband may have other children, be fertilizer. Even though that may not be your seed, still be the sunlight that seed needs for growth. For normal growth, mentally and physically, and especially mentally and spiritually, all of the above. That is the sowing of the seed. And those are the seeds that we need to be sowing. Why are we worried about putting $10, $20 in an envelope, getting back $40 and $60? No. We done sowed the seed. If you have children, just my analogy, my opinion, my thought process. But that's what's important. And like I say, we'll spend money on $70,000 and $80,000 and $90,000 cars just to say we got them. the shit that we spend money on could so frivolously could be a business in the neighborhood. And that's what I was talking to them young brothers about yesterday. Pooling your money together. It's some more young brothers that you know that may want to have a business idea or whatnot. Start pooling your money together. He said, for how long? I said, do it for 1 year. I said, pick an amount of money, $50 a week or whatever it may be, and put it to the side for 1 year. I said, at the end of that year, y'all come back together. Y'all go get you a building, go get you some land. Like I told him, go get you some land, and then you can do what you will with that land. Teach them what's important. We got to fertilize their mind. We got to give them the sunlight they need. Without the sun, don't nothing grow. So feel that. And I'm getting ready to close out of here because I could keep on going, but I'm going to close out. I appreciate my listeners. Appreciate the callers that called in as well. Y'all know me by now, especially those of y'all that's been following me on Blog Talk for a while. And to my new listeners on Activate Radio, you all will get to know me as well. I'm just a genuine person that got love for my people and the people in general. I hate to see people suffering, period. I don't care who it is. Nobody should have to suffer and while others pull the strings, you know. So like I always say, you know, we need each other out here. We do. And we got to really start marinating on that and letting that sink in a little deeper, you know, because times are only going to get tougher until we make them better. Yeah, I said make them better. But I love y'all, and like I said, I appreciate all y'all for listening. Appreciate the support every week. And I'll be back next Monday with another show. I don't have my topic yet, but I'll be back next Monday to bring some more information, some more inspiration, and just some more real talk. You know, that's what I try to do here on The Big Picture, just motivate. Don't procrastinate, motivate. We got to move something. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key, y'all. I love y'all once again. I'm out. See y'all next week. This has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. on the Panther Party Radio Network and on Activate Radio. See y'all next Monday. Peace.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big
policy. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty. Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing sure make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture.
I hope you see a big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume and it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.